Can't leave, kid.
I was never a member of the Nazi party. I'm not responsible. I only followed orders. Who are you? Why do you persecute me? My papers are in order. I love my adopted country. Oh, beautiful, fair species, guys. Fair amber waves. So, what do you want?
Relax, relax, Mr. Liebkin. We're not from the government. We came here to talk about your play.
My play? You mean Springtime Film? You know who?
Yes.
What about it?
We love it. We think it's a masterpiece. That's why we're here. We wish to produce it on Broadway.
Broadway. Oh, joy of joys. Oh, dream of dreams. I can't believe it. I must tell the birds. Birds! Birds! Birds, do you hear? Otto, Mirta, Hans, Hans, welcome. Do you hear? We are going to clear the fjord's name.
Say, get a load of that moon.
Look at those stars.
We get it all for free.
All the pretty birdies sing for
people like you and me.
You've heard of roses are red,
violets are blue.
That's corny poetry.
So, hi, and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
And this is not Damian.
Coming from a special COVID recording of the Unnamed Movie Podcast, as we, I think all at this stage, are in self-isolation.
No, I'm not.
Make it stop.
I am straight up not in any isolation. So, that's... That's an interesting thing. Out here, we haven't got super fucked yet. So people are pretending like you can walk around and go to work and do everything, but don't worry, we'll get there.
Yes.
Oh, man. They announced self-isolation and they announced the other day, they were like, look, guys, stop fucking around and stay home or we're going to, like, put the foot down.
Yeah.
And people are starting to, like, get worried. But, I mean, it's insane.
Yeah. It is. It's a problem. Andrew, half of Italy has died, right?
That's our official stat?
Official, right?
Okay, all right. Just making sure.
This world that we once knew is over. I was saying this before the podcast officially begun. I am the only one out of the three of us that have fully prepared themselves for this world to come, because I know, unlike everybody else in the world, I watched Counterpart.
Right.
And I know that clearly we are on the other side of that wall. We are the other world.
Quick question, right? What's our Counterpart?
It is a show what got cancelled.
Oh, okay.
Look,
okay.
So it's, I'm just not here a show. In my apartment drinking beer, so who cares?
Said the alcoholic to Corona.
Speaking of which, Damian, you may not have been here for this story.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently, when Canada announced you must self-isolate, the first thing that Andrew
bought was liquor.
Yes.
Yeah, man. Andrew said, you know what?
I can live without toilet paper.
Yeah.
I can live without Lysol and hand sanitizer, but do not take away my alcohol.
Yeah, man. All of that tracks. Mm-hmm.
You saw the picture in the WhatsApp group.
Like we've pretended for years that this wasn't the case, but I think now we can just accept the truth as the truth. Andrew's an alcoholic. We should stop trying to hide the truth. He needs help. I don't know who's going to help him. It's not going to be me.
So we're saying at this point that Douglas is the only one out there infecting people.
Pretty much.
Awful human being.
I'm wiping my hands all over my face.
Stop it!
But anyways, moving along, as we're here this week to discuss the 2019 film from writer-director Taika Waititi, as he brings us the story of a young boy in Hitler's youth army Jojo Rabbit, who finds out that there's a Jew hiding in his house and has things to think about this.
Here's Marshal Jojo. You're a top man. Prepare to leave the house.
Today you boys will be involved in such activities as war games, ambush techniques, and blowing stuff up.
I don't think I can do this.
Was? Of course you can.
When I was your age, I had an imaginary friend. Got me in so much trouble.
Kids, it's time to burn some books.
You're growing up too fast. 10-year-olds shouldn't be celebrating.
So yes, Jojo Rabbit is finally here. It's 2020.
Yes.
All movies are now on the internet. And we are finally here to talk about the movie from 2019. So do you guys want me to start? Does Douglas want to start? I don't know how we want to tackle this.
I suppose I should start because technically I was the one that asked us to watch this movie.
Fair enough.
Though I am a little surprised because this movie has been available for some time that I haven't heard Damien harping about this movie. Andrew, we know you have a lot of fake news going out that you've been trying to put on this podcast about this film, but we'll reserve you for later, right? I watched this movie finally, mainly because I'm lazy where I haven't watched it for so long. But I actually took notes. I made notes in this movie. And because I'm an idiot, my first note is that I'd like to make notes about this film, but what if Google is watching? because the first thing that turned me on to this movie, the first thing that immediately allayed any fears that I had and said to me, Douglas, don't worry, this is Taika doing Taika shit, was when this young boy and his imaginary friend were just going insane and Heil Hitlering each other for like 5 minutes. And I know that sounds horrible, but trust me. Just watch it. It's funny as fuck, right? And this movie consistently keeps that tone of just dumb shit and playing even with things that probably shouldn't be funny, but he figures out a way to make it funny. It's great. And I have to say that Taika got another stamp of approval. He actually was able to figure out how to get a Tom Waits song in his soundtrack. That is not an easy task. Tom Waits is effectively the Bill Murray of music. So hats off to Taika. Anything with Tom Waits in it, you know, I'm going to be positive. But the weird thing about this movie is that if you want to talk about, if you want to review it, because of how it is, or at least in my mind, this is really just a bunch of giggles all the way through. So any real review or real conversation about its strengths or weaknesses, it's really just me listing off a name of actors that were in the film, because this movie just it just allows you to focus on who you think is the funniest person in the room at the time. And I have to say that, and this is almost impossible given that Taika is actually in this movie and fucking plays Hitler, he's not the number one person in this movie. The person who wins this movie is Sam Rockwell. Sam Rockwell,
he's so fucking good in this movie.
He's so good. And I don't even know what to call him. He's just some random person in the Reich that
Captain K is
failing downwards. Right? He keeps showing up in lower and lower roles in the Nazi party, and he is just a wonderful leadership role. Taika, of course, is great because he plays Hitler and in just hilarious form. But there are definitely some some folks we need to really talk about. So who here enjoyed Rebel Wilson's role in this film?
She's amazing.
She's great. The thing about
how many babies have you had for the Reich, Douglas?
Well, she's got 18, going strong. The thing about this movie is, I love it. Right, I cannot say enough good words about this movie. But what I would say is that it is not. It doesn't punch you in the face the way that Hunt for the Wilder People or even Thor punches you in the face. Right. What I would say is this is probably in the What We Do in the Shadows level of good, where you kind of just giggling the whole way through a bunch of just dumb jokes. And what I love about saying that is that I feel like this is one of those movies, just like Lebowski, just like What We Do in the Shadows, that every time you watch it, there's going to be something more. Every time you watch it, even if there isn't something more, there's going to be something that you love even more that you noticed before in this movie. This movie is going to be a grower, not a shower, guys. But it starts off, I mean...
Is this a homosexual movie?
Apparently.
I mean, but, did you see Alfie Allen and Sam Rockwell? Like, there's something going on there.
So I think I know who you're talking about, but that's not his real name, and we'll get to him, because his real name is Theon Greyjoy. So, yeah, this. I feel like the best way to describe this movie, if we were to try to do so, to get people to watch it. Well, maybe not to get people to watch it, but the best way to say this movie is really What We Did in the Shadows as directed by Wes Anderson. Because this has a lot of Wes Anderson vibes. Not necessarily, and it has its own color palette and distinctive look, but not so much from that front. Just in the way that he tackles his comedy. Simple things like, and we go back to Sam Rockwell. Sam Rockwell has, I think, clearly defined moments in this movie, but each moment he comes in as he starts and he's essentially a Cub Scout leader. Then he's demoted to like an office manager. Then he's demoted to like he keeps coming back in lower and lower ranks, and that is just the ongoing joke. The way that Rebel Wilson and Theon Greyjoy are background characters, and you almost see them shuffle in and out of the screen to make some sort of funny emphasis. Like, guys, when Sam Rockwell talked about handling your weapons and Theon Greyjoy just shouted out, "No stabbing!" I died. This movie is so fucking good. And I would like us to retrospectively delete all podcasts where Andrew is telling or talking rubbish about this movie.
Well, then we can never release this podcast because I'm coming up with some things to talk about.
But yeah, this movie's great. I love it and cannot wait to own it. If Amazon will ever give it to me.
No, Amazon is closed. I don't know if you're
Amazon is definitely closed at the moment.
I checked today because I was looking at something frivolous to buy, and it said I could get something tomorrow. I didn't order it, but I was surprised by that today. But anyways, Damien, Jojo Rabbit.
No. I need you to talk first because very bad things are about to happen.
All right. So let me talk about this movie. Firstly, and I want to make this perfectly clear, there are funny things in this movie. Right? I don't want to make you feel like Andrew didn't laugh anywhere. This is a movie which has ridiculous shit in it. Douglas has talked about Sam Rockwell already. Theon Greyjoy, who plays Finkel, is amazing. Who he didn't mention, which has one of the best scenes in this movie, Stephen Merchant, who shows up as the Gestapo officer.
Yes, he's good. He's pretty.
He's amazing. One of the best characters in this movie is Jojo's young friend Yorkie, who just pops out of nowhere in this movie up and down, and I sort of love whenever he's in this movie. This movie if nothing else is a movie of funny moments that come and go and show you how frivolous and how amazingly funny Taika Waititi is as a writer, as a director of actors, as someone who can collaborate with people to make funny moments happen. They are there. The problem with that is that this movie, from end to end, and it might just be my cinema brain, was a boring movie. This was a movie in which, at around the 15-minute mark, you know this movie is what it's going to be. It is heavy-handed as shit about its just general politics and ideas, and you can't help but sit through every scene which you've seen in every World War II movie and just be upset that it had to be that heavy-handed at how it dealt with these ideas. Even when it gets to a pivotal scene in the middle of the movie, where it was probably closer to the end, as it relates to Scarlett Johansson, like, I watch that and I'm just like, oh, I want to go home. This movie's just annoying me right now. And on a second note, this movie is the number one reason why I didn't bring up Scarlett Johansson for MVP last year. I legit don't like her in this movie. There's a scene where she, like, paints on her beard. That is kind of cringe. It's awful.
It was weird, but come on.
Come on!
This movie, to me, feels like a movie which it could have been Hunt for the Wilder People if it wasn't about Nazis. And I would have had a fun-ass time. And it could have been Life is Beautiful if he went straight Life is Beautiful, and that movie I adore. This movie feels like it's somewhere in the middle and it doesn't know what it wants to be, and I fucking hate every time I watch it. It gets to the point where by the time the movie is over, I'm tired of seeing fucking Taika Waititi play Adolf. It's fucking boring to see him be that imaginary Adolf character when I feel like that's almost on just shit. Like, this movie, I actively dislike this movie in ways that I was unprepared for when I saw this movie last year. And I'm more upset that Douglas is here to tell me I'm wrong. That's as far as I'm willing to go so far.
Is it my turn?
I put up my hand.
Okay.
Oh. What not, Damien?
You're wrong.
But Damien,
actually, just to say one thing, right? Because you raised something that I didn't talk about, which is, and you're right, this movie, and I feel it more towards the end than throughout the movie, does get very emotional, very heartstring pulling e, right? Yes, that is never generally a positive, but what I'd say is this, right? You talk about watching the movie and knowing exactly what it's going to be, and then it actually becomes exactly what you thought it was. And yes, sure, it did that. Me and Damien always talk about how we go into movies and we forgive the ones that we like and nitpick with the ones that we don't. And I think that there's a bit of that happening for me here as well, which is that obviously we knew what this movie was going to be. We haven't really talked about the full structure of this movie. I'm not sure if, because I didn't watch all the trailers, if you were supposed to know that this movie is, obviously, you know, it's about people in Nazis, but I don't know if you're supposed to know that a lot of this film is centered around this family hiding a young girl from the SS, right? And it, yes, there are lots of emotional beats that they put in there. Yes, you know, a young boy learns to love Jews. And
he learns to not love Hitler anymore, which, you know, right. Like, that's a good thing, right? This movie, even later on, yeah. And it was in a lot of the trailers, has uh-huh. that moment where Yorkie goes, you know, it's not a good time to be a Nazi. And it feels like he's, like, preaching yeah. to all those people who saw Donald Trump say they're good people on both sides. And it's like, look, guys, I need to explain this yeah. shit to you. But one of the things I've come to learn, and I know we know this ourselves, because I feel you guys have this argument maybe in different words more times than myself coming on this podcast, is when you come to a movie and the movie actually presents to you arguments that you already agree with, you kind of are bored by the movie by the time the movie's done, because you're like, there's nothing new here for me.
Yeah, I agree with that. And that is why I forgive this movie a lot, because what it's doing, maybe it's making an argument to me, but that's not the only reason this movie exists. I get really upset when that's the only reason a movie exists. When movies are like, hey, look at how powerful this is. Yeah. Learn your lesson. But what this movie is really doing is it's saying, hey, let's make fun of something and it's going to be real funny. And if you decide to learn something else, sure. But I didn't even think of it as that back part of if you decide to learn something else. I get that you can see that in there, and if that's what you're looking for, you'll find. But for me, I decided, because again, I like the movie, to focus on the funny and not so much the emotional. And it does get, I think, very over the top emotional at the very end of this movie. But because I have enjoyed this for a full feature length film all the way through, I am fine giving it like 2 minutes of just horseshit, you know?
I'm kind of happy that I see it the complete opposite way around, where I see this as a movie with like the lesson you should learn and window dressing of funny to like get you through it. Right, where he was like, I punched up the script for you so that you could fucking learn not to be a fucking Nazi. Right?
It is bad.
By the way, I was kind of upset. I was kind of upset that the girl's name wasn't Anne.
No, you're an idiot.
I thought they were going to make her Anne Frank. I was like, really? Wait, are we going this far down the rabbit hole?
You, no, sir, are a child. You are a child.
But Damien, we've not heard from Damien yet. From the not Damien yet.
Yes.
He's not Douglas. I'm not Damien. Get your nuts right.
So Christopher Nolan made a movie that you guys rather enjoyed a while back. And my argument for not liking it is that I am done with World Wars of any number, one or two, I don't care. At this point, I don't care anymore. I don't care about the Greatest Generation. Fuck those people. And lo and behold, because I guess every director has to make one of these, and I haven't seen 1917 yet, and so I don't know if this will hold true forever, but for right now, I am still tired of movies.
Am I going to have to turn off your microphone?
You can try. I don't think you have the power.
Yes, I do. I can just call you. Oh.
I mean, I can mute Douglas if you want at this point.
Douglas is right. Here's the thing. This movie is Taika from top to bottom. There are a lot of dumb jokes in this movie. And there's a lot. This movie is a movie that I should like in principle. The jokes hit. Everything is supposed to work. The problem is, it is preachy. And whether it is Taika or whether it is Chris Nolan, I can't with you people and this war. Listen, I don't care that Nazis exist in 2020. I'm done.
But Damien, he wrote a book
done.
About the Jews.
I am finished.
And
I
how
cannot
they think
take
and
it
what
anymore.
Their minds look like. It was ridiculous.
How many times,
best friend?
How many times must I sit through old white men telling me that war is bad?
Tyka is
I am
not
aware
white, Damien.
Of this. I don't give a shit. I am aware. And while the jokes were almost enough to distract me, when the movie was coming to its end, it is when he's just like, all right, we've had our fun, but now it is time for me to learn you. And I was just like, I can't do this with you, Tyka. Tyka, you're on you. I can't with you or anybody. I'm so sick of it. sick of this. There's nothing nuanced to say on this topic. We're done. How Douglas feels about all race-related movies, I've finally gotten there with a war that has nothing to do with me. But I can't. I don't want to play video games about it. I don't want to hear... Listen, Ken Burns has a 40-hour documentary on World War One and a 60-hour documentary on World War Two, and I have watched all of them, and now I am finished. I don't want to hear it anymore. I don't care what your views are. I don't care what you... No one cares what you think. You have nothing new to say on this topic. Also, almost everybody that was alive at the start of either war is dead. I don't want to hear about Hitler anymore. Right? If he had just taken the tact that, oh, he's going to play Hitler, which in itself, on its face, is hilarious. Just having Tyka play Hitler is funny. The problem is at some point he thinks he's telling us something. And I can't with you, Tyka. Listen, guys. War is bad. Andrew, I don't know if you know this. let me tell you something. Years and years ago,
who is it good for, Damien?
It's good for Cobb and my man and Jackie Chan. That is it. That's the only two people that war has ever been good for.
I should rewatch that movie. Oh my god, I've not seen that in forever.
Which movie are we talking? Please tell me it's Rush Hour, because if you haven't seen Fifth Element in a while, I'm going to fly over there and stab you to death.
No, but I rewatched that like this week. I rewatched Fifth Element this week. Cool. Not right, rewatched Rush Hour in eons.
It's still racist. It's still funny, though. It's not, listen, in the 90s and early 2000s, people knew how to make stupid movies. And they did it. They're just like, let's take the loudest black man we can find, not named Sam Jackson, and put him with Jackie Chan and cross our fingers and hope for the best. Yeah, they tried it with DMX and Jet Li. That failed spectacularly.
That movie, Andrew, Damien?
Yes, but we try not to
Which
think
movie?
About it.
They have the black version of the movie in Rush Hour and the white version of the movie in... High Noon or Night?
Yes.
Whatever that's called.
Shanghai Nights.
Shanghai Nights, yes.
No one except us will ever remember what Shanghai Nights is.
Actually quite like the movie.
This,
of course you do.
You think you like the movie, but you're wrong. Also, this will be the last time the phrase Shanghai Nights will be brought up on the internet for the rest of eternity. Like, we're the last people that remember that movie exists. So pat yourself on the back for having a broken brain and remembering a movie that technically doesn't exist.
There are two of them.
Yeah, I know. I saw two of them. Also saw Romeo Must Die.
Oh, boy. Oh,
yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah. Remember when
those were good?
Yeah, remember, The movie that made me know that I don't like Jet Li as much as I thought I liked Jet Li was when him and Jason Statham came in the one. And even back then, I was just like, this is a bridge too far, guys. I can't come here with you.
So, okay, pulling it back to Shanghai Jojo Rabbit.
Is the one reference, which is, again, the last time that movie will be brought up. Andrew, I cannot.
I just have one question for you, Damien. Directors. Right? You say that you're done with World War movies, right?
Can't.
Like, you're just, you're over. War isn't good. Fuck that shit.
Yeah. War is hell.
Do you still hold any World War movies, like, being like, I saw that before I was done. I still kind of like that movie.
Yeah, I mean, of course, there's great movies. But, if Call of Duty had to look at World Wars and go, we can't do this anymore, I think movie directors have to follow suit. Band of Brothers is incredible. I mean, they're the staples that everyone knows. But at this point, like, what are people going to make in 2020 about those movies? Like, what is it that you're trying to say? That you think you're the one now, today, in 2000, whatever it is, that you have some new spin on World Wars? No. Nobody's that good. If Chris Nolan couldn't do it, I'm not surprised that Taika couldn't do it. I'm glad Douglas liked the movie. And maybe one day when I'm sick and tired of watching his other movies, I'm just like, you know what? I should go back and try that. Like years from now when all these movies have dried up. And I'm like, oh, maybe I can go back now and it will be tolerable.
By years from now, you mean this year?
Shh, no. By years from now, I mean after Donald Trump's 8th term as president. When Nazis disappear and global warming is fixed. Then, maybe by then, but for right now, I'm tired. I'm tired of these movies. He tried, though. I gave my A5 out. And all the teams played hard, which is understandable. Taika is very good at his job. I'm sick of this shit. I'm sick of it.
So you're telling me Douglas is alone? This feels amazing.
Yeah. with a Taika movie, no less.
I kind of figured that this would be the case because it's been available for a long time and Damien has said absolutely nothing.
Exactly.
I know he watched it the second it was available.
Immediately. Immediately.
Damien was like, I can't give Andrew the satisfaction to know he was right.
Yeah, I was literally never going to talk about this movie until someone picked it. I was going to pretend like that, no, this movie's fine. I'd never say anything. I would never be brought up again. But Douglas wouldn't give me the pleasure. And so, no. No, we're talking about this this movie.
It's okay. I'm just going to have to like it enough for the three of us.
Yeah, man. I understand. I've done that in the past. I played that game many a time. What's up? My friends don't like something, they have to be wrong. And then you move on with their life.
Mm-hmm.
So moving on then, since we're now done with the awful movie that's fucking Jojo Rabbit.
Yes.
Unless there's more we want to talk about.
Thump approved.
So, guys, Corona. Mm-hmm. Corona's canceled the world. Right?
What about her? What's happened?
But more importantly, at least not importantly, but relevant to this podcast's range of topics, it's canceled movies. All theaters have shut down.
Have you known?
No one is here. They have every single one.
More movies. quicker than I would have gotten it.
That's what I wanted to get into. With suddenly a lot of these studios having delayed and or released their films really early on VOD with high price tickets, as they want to call it, premiere home video. $20 rentals for movies that would have been in the theater today, which, as Douglas has asked me when I asked him this a week ago, is technically $6 more than you'd pay to actually go to the movies up here. I want to ask, like, is this a definitive change? Like, it obviously won't happen, as you've seen the delays happen for the franchise movies, for the Wonder Woman's, the Fast and the Furious, the Black Widows. Those will never get into this region of conversation, at least not first. But for all of those other movies, like, say, The Invisible Man, say, Birds of Prey, say, The Way Back, which they're like, all right, we hope it makes 80 million kind of movies. Like, is this going to be a complete change for what we're seeing for movie releases? Are we actually going to see this post-corona? Damien?
I hope.
Oh, no. Douglas was saying something. What's that, Douglas?
No, I was just going to go into the conversation, but you go ahead first.
I don't see this continuing past the time it takes us to get over this corona situation. It might be that this year some of these movies come out, but people are like, there's too much money on the table for people to just be like, you know what, let's go with this moving forward. I don't see them going down that road. There's people who are just at this point accepting that the situation is the situation and just trying to make as much money right now as possible. And so they're putting out some of these films ahead of time. But outside of that, this is something I just can't see happening. Because of how much money people stand to lose. Everyone on this podcast hopes. I'm pretty safe in saying that everyone on the podcast hopes that this is what actually does happen.
Well, but maybe not Andrew. Remember, Andrew lives in the future. A place where communal movie watching is actually...
Andrew would happily give up. Andrew would happily allow us to see future movies alongside him if he never has to leave his house again.
Definitely.
Andrew's accepted.
You all know my opinion in that I would prefer to go to the theater. I'm sure all of us generally would prefer to go to the theater. If we like the theater and it's playing the movies we want, we'd all prefer to do that, right?
Right.
But, like, in the failing of that, we've always desired this option to us, even at the higher price point, to say, look, we understand that what you're trying to say is if you don't want to leave your yard, you have to pay a premium to do that, to get this movie at the time. We already knew it. The question for many years, because there have been many conversations about this with studios apparently talking about doing this at some point, with asking what is the price point that would make sense. Right, some people I remember years ago had been talking about some service you'd buy into for like hundreds of dollars a month to basically have access to things. But they would like use certain security involved in order to make sure that you can't access the file correctly. Directly, or one thing or the other. But just once again, this is I understand that this very much could immediately go away the minute that theaters reopen and things go back to quote unquote normal. But, and also, I'm also giving the fact that once again, those big Hollywood franchises, which their goals are to make billions of dollars, right? Those movies, we're not seeing those hit this anytime soon, if ever. Because as you say, Damon, there's too much money on the line for those. But I'm curious for like, The Invisible Man, where they probably only guesstimated a $50 million recoup, right? Or even a movie I plan to talk about a little later, The A24's The First Cow, where like A24, they had their best movie release last year with Uncut Gems that made, you know what, I need to look it up to actually have the number in front of me, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't 100 million. So I'm just, it made 48.4 million in the US, right? Okay. Like, my question is, does this change the game for those movies? And
sadly,
I'm just,
I don't think it does, you know. I wish it did, right? Yeah. But I have a feeling. So the only way that things will change significantly is if the world is actually different after Corona, right? If it is that we are not going to big communal events anymore because it's dangerous or because we're just fucking scared, then things are going to have to change. But if that is not the case, then I think we're just going to revert to the mean where this, what they're doing as a release strategy, putting things online digitally, is not going to work for anybody other than those who think it works for them already, right? There are some movies from even before this Corona thing hit that got simultaneous releases, which were generally the movies that they thought might, fingers crossed, make $1 million or $10 million in the box office, right? So those very, not necessarily small, but just niche kind of movies, you know, movies by companies like fucking Gravitas, or things like that. Those went straight to VOD. These movies that are doing this now during Corona, you're right, Andrew, they're kind of the middle of the pack where they're like, shit, I was going to make a bag of money, but I've now kind of caught myself in this weird scenario. Let me at least do what I can do. I think the one exception to that rule is Onward, which is a Pixar movie, but I feel like that one probably wasn't going to do as well as some of the bigger ones. But
and it also had like 2 or 3 weeks already, I think, before Corona hits the theaters.
Exactly. And the blockbusters, I don't think they're ever going to go to this unless there is a problem. Because you guys talk about too much money on the table, but it's a little worse than that. And maybe you mean the same thing, but you're just not saying it. The real problem here is that once you put this on these platforms, they're available to everybody for free.
Right.
Because piracy is a real thing. And up to now, nobody's found a way to connect me to the movie I want to watch without having somebody in the middle be able to steal it. And if you connect me, and what the theater, the movie theater system does is when I get that bootleg, at least it's shitty. And I have to say to myself, do I want to watch this shitty version or do I want to wait or watch a good one and pay money for it? And so there's at least that. But if you immediately allow me, the person who paid for it, to allow somebody else to come in and get the pristine copy of whether it's The Invisible Man or Onward and put it out there, then you're immediately losing a lot of money. And so the big blockbusters are never going to allow that to happen. But I hope, I mean, Andrew, you know that I fucking hate the movies out here. I really do. Like, I feel like because Damien was the first one out of all of us to get to that stage. Mm-hmm. I feel like because it took me so long, I've bounced in just, I've gone the other extreme where I think Damien goes to the movies more than I do now, which is sad.
You, sir, are incorrect in your assumption.
No, I know this to be true because you talk about going to some movies and I'm like, oh, really? Why would you do that?
Oh, yeah. That's because I have to bring people to the movies.
Yes, you do.
There's people, Damien, who would prefer, yes.
You notice that I don't.
True. That is true, yeah. I probably do see more movies than you. That is very sad.
Right. But yeah, this is just a weird situation. I really want it to be the norm. I want more things to come out online, because then, and I'm willing to pay that. And we can talk about this whole pricing scheme, right? I am willing to once a week pay like a $20 for whatever the new movie is that I want to watch that week. I probably wouldn't. Maybe I'll do two movies, but I probably wouldn't do more than that. But again, I wouldn't do more than that if I were going to the movies. I'm not that kind of guy who is like, oh, this movie came out, I'm going to watch it 10 times. I'm not that, right? I watch it once, maximum twice. Well, I generally don't watch movies, these new movies, multiple times like that. But I'll watch it once and then wait for it to be purchasable, right? And I think that can work. That will work for people like me. The problem is there are not a lot of people like me who are like, oh, I will pay money for a thing that somebody worked on. Most people are like, wait, but I can get it online for free, so why would I pay for it?
Why on earth?
And that, yeah, that is why this will never happen unless somebody comes with a system that cannot be broken. And I don't think that's possible.
It's fascinating. But yeah, Damien, what were you saying?
No, I was just saying it would be... It is... They're not worried about people like us. The fact that we sit here and talk about movies means that we are not the people that they are worried about losing revenues from, because we are the idiots that were going to spend the money that they can basically count on. We're the reason that there's still media being pressed to disc and people worrying about compression ratios and stuff like that. But that is, we are not the majority of people. Like, and we see it a lot. We see it both in the types of movies that are made, and we see it with what is popular at any given time. There's many times we see movies and we roll our eyes. Like, I pass the theater a lot of times now and look at what is being offered, and I'm confused by the fact that these are the movies that are out. Because all I want to ask is, who has requested these movies? Who are these people watching these terrible movies? And the answer is always normal people. Like, Jojo Rabbit is not a movie that can come out here, because this is a waste of everybody's time. It doesn't make sense for them to put that movie here when three lunatics are the only people that are going to watch it. Like, who does that benefit? Doesn't really benefit anybody. And so we're always going to be in this. It's frustrating. It's a frustrating position to be in, because we see it happen time and time again. But
yeah, I mean, it's a similar argument to music, right? And yeah. So something that I was upset about this week, which is really exactly what you're talking about, just music form, is Childish Gambino or Donald Glover just released his new album, and I'd like to listen to it. But in order to listen to it, I would have to stream it from either Amazon, Tidal, Spotify, or iTunes, or any of those things. I can't actually buy it and have it for myself. And so yeah. I have not listened to his album. I have a feeling I might not like it, but I'd like to make that decision.
Right. I'd like to be able to listen to this, please. And they're just like, no, that's not how we do things anymore. Yeah. And then you go, but why though? And they're like, money. It's like, oh, I'm an idiot. I keep asking these questions like I was born yesterday. Of course the answer. Whenever there's something I don't like, or it's confusing, and I go, why are people doing this? I just have to pause and go, money, Damien, you're not five. You know why. The answer is money. And as long as that is one the day, case.
Yeah, one day movies are going to be like that as well. We're not going to be able to buy Blu-rays for much longer, Damien.
The one thing that I have been very, very excited about since we've gone under quarantine is that our friends at Microsoft and Sony have a new box to sell us. They're just like, your video game's not video gamey enough. Let me sell you some new video game boxes. But because of how video games are being built, all the new TVs are being specced to be both perfect TVs and now perfect video game monitors. We finally reached TV singularity where I'll never have to buy a regular monitor again. The best monitor in the world is now the best TV in the world. And so never again will I have to go, I want to watch this movie. Let me get up from my computer and use the better TV. Soon, the better TV will just be a regular TV and I don't have to do this nonsense anymore. So I'm very happy about that. But that's all I've been happy about under quarantine. Literally all sports have been canceled. There's some of these sports people, now that I'm taking over this segment, some of these sports people, Andrew, have decided that having professional athletes play virtual sports is a thing I'm interested in.
Oh, I'd like to use this podcast.
Football people did it. Formula One people have done it. NBA people have done it. And I'm here to tell all of you that if you guys think that because Twitch is popular, that this is a real thing, I'm here to tell you that this is not a... people who like sports like the competition of sports. People who love video game sports don't watch real sports. It's a different demographic. Street Fighter people and Warcraft people aren't watching real sports. So you can't cut the shit. No, I don't want any more of this. I'd like all of this to stop. So if you could pass on that message to them, Andrew, I'd be very grateful.
I'll do my best.
Thank you.
But yeah, Corona has ruined movies. They've ruined sports. They've ruined concerts. Everything. They've ruined everything. Can't go outside.
We don't have those in Germany, but it's a concert.
It's where you go to a place and then someone plays music for you.
You mean a stage show?
Yeah, that.
Okay. Okay, I understand. That one's funny.
So moving on. Moving on from Corona updates. With the coronavirus, we've all been home a lot, except Douglas. Douglas doesn't get to stay home.
Except Douglas, yes.
Douglas is a critical. He's mission critical, so he doesn't get to stay home.
Which means we probably had a lot of time to watch a lot of bullshit movies.
And TV shows.
Damien, what have you been watching?
I have been watching, and I have the thing in front of me now. I have all my movie nonsense in front of me now. That's one positive coming out of this.
For being in quarantine.
I'll start with Steve Netflix. I watched Tom Segura's Ball Hog. If you like Tom Segura, you should watch this. If you don't like Tom Segura... Already?
I thought that was this week.
It is this week.
Okay. I'm watching it after this podcast.
Tom Segura is great. He's great. And so you should watch that. Once you finish watching Tom Segura, you should go straight to Bert Kreischer. Hey, Big Boy is the name of the special. It is also tremendous. Tom Segura, Bert Kreischer double feature would probably make you a terrible person, so you probably shouldn't do that. But It's fantastic.
I did half of that. Does that make me less of a bad person?
It probably does. You're a better person than me, because I've watched both of them twice, and so I'm a terrible person. Speaking of terrible things, Altered Carbon Season 2, Douglas told me it was bad, and I believed him, but then the world broke, and I had a lot of time. And I said, let's watch Anthony Mackie do this. And Douglas didn't clearly explain how bad it was, because he wanted us to have this conversation. It's real bad. The first season was not good. I think that's the official moniker that is on Netflix. It is in the not good section. It's not Spencer Confidential, a thing I'll never watch. I just assume it's the worst thing that has ever been put out. So it's not that. It's whatever the tier is that is above that. But this is a waste of your time. The story that they tell, as it moves on, becomes more and more nonsensical. And this is a show that started off with nonsense. And they just keep ramping it up. And the stakes are supposedly high, but everything that is happening in the show is different variations of bad. And at the end of the show, I wanted to punch my monitor, which is not a thing you should do when you're bored and need something to kill time. So what I'd say to people who haven't seen season one, you're good. You don't need to watch season one or season two. And if you've seen season one and are thinking about season two, there are many other shows on Netflix that you can watch instead of that. There's many I can recommend, but I don't have all day. If you haven't seen I'm Not Okay With This, you should watch that. You should watch Peaky Blinders. You can watch Ozarks.
I just watched Netflix that show. That show's so great.
Oh, Netflix, you mean this fucking show I've been telling you to watch for 5 years now?
And yeah, he finally watched it. I have a review from my mother. She watched a movie called Self-Made.
I literally called it like The Godfather. And you're like, no, can't be that good.
I mean, it's not that good, but it is very good.
No, it's not that good, but it's...
Wait, which show are we talking about?
Ozark.
No, I'm talking about I'm Not Okay With This. I don't give a shit about Ozark. What's an Ozark?
Oh.
Oh. Okay. Oh. Well, fuck you.
Yeah. Also, of course, I'm Not Okay With This is fantastic. It's fantastic. It's no end of the effing world, but it's almost. So I'll take it.
But anyways, Damon, you're talking about Self-Made.
Yes. I haven't seen this movie because... Let's be serious. Netflix is letting me know that it is the number one in Jamaica today.
It has black people
in it. Some I respect, some I do not respect, and I'm never going to watch it. And based on the one review I've heard, which is my mother's review, no one needs to watch this. And so we move on. I have rewatched all of the 2018 World Cup. This makes it three times that I've done this. I watched it live, and then I watched it sometime last year, and I've completed it again this year, and it's very good. Movies that are not very good. What's that?
You rewatched what?
The World Cup.
I swore I heard you say the 2020 World Cup, and I got confused.
That's not a thing.
The 2020 World Cup is happening next year, Andrew.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's called
the Olympics. Sorry, Corona.
No, it's called the Euros, Damien. Get this shit right.
Yeah. Sorry.
And Copa
I watched.
America.
That's I. Yeah. Hence the I world. Watched. I have a favorite director. His name is Ang Lee. He only makes terrible movies. He has two movies that I fear is extremely terrible, and I love them, and then everything else is hot garbage, and Andrew loves those. And so I like Crouching Tiger and Life of Pi, and Andrew likes all the garbage. Andrew said,
I like Crouching Tiger.
Andrew said watching Jiminy Man was a worthwhile experience because of the technology. Andrew's wrong because the movie's bad.
You know how many times I've looked at that poster on Google Play and said, is today the day? And
just never watch it.
Had the balls to do it.
Here's what I'll say to you, Douglas. Never, ever, ever, under any circumstance. For any reason. No matter how curious you think you are, don't watch it. Because it's
what
terrible.
What if because you've run out of alcohol?
It's terrible. It's terrible. In a similar boat, I watched Zombieland Double Tap. And we're going to move on because I want to talk about it's not fun to mock. It's just bad. There's people in there that I like, but there's nothing about that movie that is worth your time. A movie that is bad, but at the same time, tremendous. Nicolas Cage came in a movie called Primal. And it is delicious.
I've been meaning to try that piece of shit for a while.
It is so bad. But it is beautiful to watch. Now, if I said the words Nick Cage, a new movie, and you got excited, this is your movie. If even a little bit of your brain says, I don't think I want to watch a Nick Cage movie, then you need to stay as far away from this movie as possible because it is not for you. This movie is, if internet memes became a movie and then you had Nick Cage fans build that movie, and that is what it is. He knows what type of movie it is. The directors know what type of movie it is. Every other actor in this movie is well aware of what this movie is. Jeff Gunn is in it, and he is everybody in this movie.
By Jeff, do you mean James?
No, man, not James Gunn. There's a Jeff Gunn in there, and he plays. When you see the movie, you'll know why I've pointed him out. The movie is something else. It is terrible, but everyone should. All Nick Cage fans need to watch this one. Because there's things in it that are spectacular. I unfortunately watched Doctor Sleep.
Ooh, how bad is that?
I wanted to like this movie. I don't know if it's bad. I do know that it is boring. Much like Ad Astra, I'm not sure if the movie is good or not. I just know I don't want to see it again because it took too much time out of my life to be bored. It's a 3-hour movie and you feel all of it.
Damien, the name of the movie is Dad Astro. Let's get this clear.
Sure. Speaking of dad movies, saw Ford v Ferrari. That movie is... If you saw the trailer, that is what that movie is. If you like cars and are old, this is your movie. It is more American propaganda. I love these kinds of movies. I love the fact that they're still making these kinds of movies where they pretend that they're not doing the thing they're doing, which is peddle America as the greatest nation. I love, especially now, Donald Trump. is that the world is on fire. Now is the perfect time to look back at when an empire thought, you know what? Let us crush these people because America. And the last movie I will talk about that is new and I had not seen and I knew I shouldn't have watched, but still watch anyway because I'm an idiot. I watched 21 Bridges.
Did you count them?
Yes, yes, I did count the black people in there.
No, of the bridges.
Three.
Douglas, you saw what's his name?
Bert Kreischer?
Yeah, you saw the Bert Kreischer special,
that's,
right?
That's why I'm responding okay. the way
all right, cool.
Responding.
So, right, it is for you. Right, all right, cool.
I love that Bert Kreischer special.
So, this Bert Kreischer, oh my yes. God. Anyway, yes. continue, David.
J.K. Simmons is the reason to watch this movie. Keith David is the reason to keep watching this movie. Everybody else in this movie is the reason you should never watch movies in general. Chadwick Boseman's accent is it is trash. And everything on the back of that. This movie is not good in any way, shape, or form. But boy, J.K. Simmons is good. I love that. I should really finish watching Counterpart, Douglas, because I think that will give me all the J.K. Simmons. I mean, that and watching J.K. Simmons out-act everybody and out-enjoy everybody in movies, except Keith David, who is... The only person I want to meet and talk to as an actor is Keith David, because he's been in so much lunacy. I just want to talk to him and ask him, how is it that you continuously get people to rope you into these lunatic projects? Like, is it just they call and give you a number and then you leave? Or is he specifically waiting for the worst things and then going, I, Keith David, can make this better? Because he does, just that the projects he's in are really terrible. And so that's what I've been watching. The World Cup, I'll say the 2018 World Cup, not since maybe the 1998 World Cup, probably the best World Cup that we've had. Yeah.
England made it.
This are ninth. I'm sorry?
Oh, well, nothing. Never mind.
I'm sorry.
I thought my mic yep. was muted.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Oh, yeah. I always have a soft spot in my heart for the 2002 World Cup.
That one was the worst one.
No, it was the best one because I got to wake up very early.
Yes.
With my brother and my grandmother.
Yeah.
And watch Ronaldinho.
Yes.
Fucking put a ball into the net from a free kick that was. Mwah!
And then the same time he looks across the hill and goes, David, that's how you do it.
There's moments. I'm not saying there's not moments in there that is good. I'm saying as a whole, that World Cup weren't so great.
Sure,
I understand sheer bad mind.
Yes,
winning out. I accept that. But this the last World Cup. I mean, watching Argentina lose. And be terrible is not great, even when you know what's about to happen. But watching everybody else play such tremendous football is fantastic.
I don't have that much. I want to go through some of these things I've rewatched before, but I kind of want to have mentioned for a second. I rewatched Intolerable Cruelty. For what must have been the first time since the movie came out. I remember wanting to love this movie with every fiber of my being like, I remember the ridiculous stuff. I feel like it'll be how I want to remember Jojo Rabbit 10 years from now, when I'll just remember the crazy stuff and not remember how much I actively hated watching the movie. And then I rewatched this movie, and then I actively hated watching this movie. No matter how much I got to see.
One star review.
how much I enjoyed George Clooney scene. It was in Kentucky, or the guy going the fanny, the hammer and the fanny shit. Like, the movie's just not that good. It's sub tier Coen Brothers movie, and I understand now why they only put one of their names as director. I don't know if it was only one of them who actually made it, but technically he's the only one credited.
That's what they do when they know.
After they figured out it was a bad one, and the guy that lost the credit, right? Like, fuck you, I love this movie. It obviously is not a good movie, but it's the type of... It's a Knight's Tale just made by the Coen brothers.
Moving along, I rewatched Midsommar. I know this is not an apology for Midsommar. I still don't like that movie. I just wanted to mention something offhandedly. When we talked about this movie, you guys had seen the theatrical cut. I watched the director's cut. I watched the theatrical cut this week gone by, and I won't. All I'm going to tell you is I think this version is actively worse than the director's cut. So anyone out there wanting to watch Midsommar, first of all, maybe don't do that. Second of all, if you are, go and find the director's cut. It'll be longer, but it has like more understanding as to what the hell is going on with this movie. The theatrical cut is worse. Just wanted to mention that. Moving on to movies I've never seen before. I watched Frozen 2, the movie Damien told me not to watch.
I told you not to do this.
And I should have listened to Damien.
I told you not to do this.
Don't worry, Damien, we'll have one more podcast for this to happen again. Don't worry. Next Frozen week, I'll come on here and be like, why did Damien tell me not to watch this movie?
That was very explicit.
He's like, you musical person, don't watch this movie.
I'm like, guys, listen, everyone loves Frozen, but boy, this is not the one.
I think we all know that Disney has a track record of their Disney movies. Whenever they make big, they just do shitty sequels to them. If you've ever seen Aladdin 2 or Lion King 2 or...
Yep.
They're all bad, right? So
excuse me? Don't disrespect Aladdin 2, okay?
What happened in Aladdin 2?
Aladdin 2, the tale of Iago? There was more Jafar.
Go fuck yourself.
Unless Robin Williams.
Frozen 2 is not good. I feel sorry for anyone with children who are stuck in quarantine who have nothing to do but listen to Frozen 2 for the rest of their lives.
Here's the thing. Children love these movies because they're children. So, like, I'm sure children will still love this movie because Elsa is in it. And that's all they care about. But that movie... That movie's a disgrace, is what that movie is. Everyone should be ashamed of their part in that movie.
So, the next one down the list, I watched The Invisible Man. I actually watched it twice because I made mistakes in my life.
So you're an idiot.
Look, I went out and I saw it in the theater before the lockdown, came home, and Renato was like, I want to watch Invisible Man now that you can rent it. And I was like, all right. And I watched Invisible Man again. That movie has a good first 30 minutes. I sort of love how dumb the suit is. Right? So if you guys don't know this, the science they use is it's a bodysuit as to how he's invisible. Spoiler alert.
Of course. That makes a lot of sense.
The rest of the movie is awful. But, you know, I was just happy to see the guy from Upgrade make another movie. And it's not as bad as The Mummy, so, you know, there's that improvement for Universal.
I'm sorry, what now?
No, no, which the Tom Cruise mummy about? Movie. The Tom Cruise mummy movie.
Okay.
Not Brendan Fraser.
Okay.
I was going after their Dark Universe movies. This movie is a regular ass movie. This is the kind of movie that we would have seen on TCM late at night and been like okay with it because it was just on TV. Because we're not really paying attention. It's whatever. The next movie I want to talk about is a documentary, which I think Damien has talked about before, but I finally got around to watching it. Amazing Grace, the Aretha Franklin film.
Yeah.
Which I find fascinating. I mean, above everything else, you know, Aretha Franklin, amazing music. So that's there. But I mean, this is one of those movies where you love because of the story behind it a little bit more. So I don't know if Douglas knows anything about this. Do you, Douglas? Do you know the story behind this movie?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, okay. Then I won't tell anyone.
No, you should.
But basically, this was a movie that was made in the 70s when Aretha was recording her album. She did a live album, and she got Sidney Pollack to direct the movie. And the movie was never released because people didn't like it. Because apparently Sidney Pollack at the time didn't use a clapper, which they tend to use when they make movies to sync up audio and video. And it just never looked right, apparently. And they just decided to shelve it. And this producer...
You mean her. She specifically did not want it released. That's the story I know.
And a music executive, a music producer at one of these record companies found out about this. And spent every dollar of his life to get the footage from Sidney Pollack when he died. And he re-edited and re-synced everything and released it like 2 or 3 years ago. And it's a fantastic music documentary. Story goes that apparently she has seen it. She did see it before she died. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But, you know, eventually they all came to an agreement because obviously they had to for this footage to even appear in a commercial sense. At the end of the day, I feel most people will be like, but I can just listen to the live album, and you're not wrong, but it's still a great music documentary.
Fantastic.
Aretha is amazing. I loved when you see the father come in and sit down and you see people reacting with him, like, kind of awesome. But yeah, Amazing Grace. And the last movie I want to talk about, the last movie I might ever see in a theater, is the A24 film by Kelly Reichardt, First Cow. This is her...
Is that the tagline?
That's probably the tagline for this movie. This is her going back to the Western genre as she takes us into a small town, a small community in which a cow, the first cow of the community, arrives and the reactions to it. And we follow along by the protagonist, this one cook who came to the town via some trapping group that he came with. And he has aspirations to be a magnificent baker. But he has no milk, and now there is a cow. And I swear to God, I spent the entire of this movie laughing to myself because all I could think about was a goddamn John Mulaney joke. And if you know which one I'm talking about, I'd like to say thank you. Mm-hmm. Because that is the plot of this movie, and it goes, I know I've not seen it since we last spoke about it, which is a long ass time ago. The other Kelly Reichardt Western, Meek's Cut Off. So I can't say for sure as to whether it's the exact same tone of a Western. It definitely has her muted, like, insular tone of focusing on these people and their small lives, basically. And one of those types of movies. But it's definitely a Western.
By muted and insular, you mean boring, right?
I've learned,
right, that Kelly Reichardt makes boring movies. It's just that when you like one of her movies, you've decided you also like the boring topic she's talking about.
I'd like you to behave, sir. I like boring westerns. Sir, play nice.
I will say that Renata said the most Damien thing ever when this movie was over. The movie ended. She looked at me and she said, "I thought you said this was a western."
Oh. I know me and Renato are going to be friends.
She's like, where's action?
Yeah, she's like, what is this crying nonsense? I didn't know this was a crying movie.
Yep. I think that's all I really want to talk about. I also watched the Netflix show I mentioned. I'm Not Okay With This. Loved it end to end.
Fantastic.
Great show.
Yeah. Yep. It is fantastic.
Yep. I mean, Westworld is back. I don't know if you guys want to talk about that. But yeah.
If you want to, I'm up to date. So we could talk about it.
I don't really have much to really say about it other than more Westworld. It's in the stage of HBO shows where you're like in those first two episodes where you're like, okay, you now need to explain to me what is the main mystery you want me to care about this season. Mm-hmm. And I understand all the things I'm saying is confirming to Damien not to watch the show.
That is correct.
Yeah. But this show so far is that the first episode was fucking awesome. The second episode, not so much. But they're clearly trying to put together people. I like Tandy Newton, though. Who is that?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah.
That's me whistling at your nonsense.
It's the man who's asking. I thought this was a Western.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, Douglas, you may proceed.
Yes, sir. So let's see. What did not Damien watch this week? So we've talked about this before, but I just need to reiterate. Bert Kreischer, Hey Big Boy, Oh Boy. And weirdly enough, you guys seem to love it through and through, which I'm glad for. In particular, you, Andrew. You didn't strike me as a Bert Kreischer kind of guy. But I thought
he had me on the floor with the opening bit about him and the coffee man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one was good. But outside of that one, he started off a little slow, and I was worried for a little while that I would only think that this one was okay until he started talking about his family, in particular his daughters and that whole
whore bath
boy thing. Oh boy. Yeah.
When he said takes two whore baths, I was just like, I can't do this anymore.
He does this to me every time, which is why I know I love him.
Yeah.
I was literally crying. Yeah, water was coming out of my eyes when I was watching this special towards the tail end.
He's the devil.
I love it, but we can move on because we've all discussed how much we love this man. A couple of things that I probably shouldn't have watched, but watched anyway. I watched Crawl.
That movie's awful.
Yeah, shitty movie about alligators or crocodiles. It's not good. People don't watch it. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Were you drunk?
Apparently.
Are you still drunk?
A little bit. Okay. I also watched the latest Terminator movie.
I'm sorry.
Terminator, the darkest timeline. How was that?
I'm sorry, what?
The funny thing is, right?
No.
For the first, say, half hour, I was kind of on board.
No.
For the first half hour, it was mad. Right?
Did you watch Transformers while you were at it? That's the quadruple down.
That's next week. That's next week. But how this movie started out, right? How I would have described it was that it's a lot like Star Wars, like the new Star Wars,
Jesus.
But a lot more self-aware, right? Where this movie was obviously just the first Terminator again, right?
Okay.
But they kept just making call-outs, like Linda Hamilton, I think that's her name, Linda Hamilton, when she is introduced to us, one of the first things she says is, I'll be back. And, you know, you're like, oh, really? Is that what we're doing? And Arnold says some shit, and it's dumb. But, unfortunately, after a while, it is no longer that, and it just becomes mm-hmm. run-of-the-mill. So, whatever.
Was the action okay?
It was fine. Yeah. As I said...
Because it's Deadpool Man who made it, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I would say that the first 30 to 45 minutes, actually, I enjoyed that. The rest of it, eh. And yeah, the action scenes are okay. They're fine. So we have a conversation that we need to be had. And I'm actually upset that Andrew has talked about this movie and that he doesn't like it. Because Andrew is the fucking reason I watched this movie. Not only did I watch this movie, I paid $20 to watch it on my television because it's a new goddamn movie that the corona has given to me. I watched The Invisible Man.
I'm scrolling back in our conversation. Let's see exactly what I said.
Yeah.
Continue.
I think he said it's just a regular movie or whatever. I watched The Invisible Man despite knowing I should not watch this. Because Andrew, either last week or the week before, said to us, oh, I'm so excited for watching The Invisible Man. I responded with, fuck that movie. I've seen that trailer. It's going to be garbage. And Andrew's response was what? It was directed by the same guy that did, whatchamacallit, Upgrade. And actually, now that I think about it, I'm pretty sure this was after Andrew had watched it the first time and was saying still positive things about it, about how, oh, there is a lot of the same sort of fight scenes as in Upgrade. And I was like, really? In that case, perhaps I should watch this film. I am here to tell you that this movie is fucking garbage. as I knew it would be.
Mm-hmm.
And I am very upset with Andrew. Because not only is the movie exactly what I thought it was going to be, Andrew, please tell me, where exactly was this action?
Her body was thrown across the room. That's an action scene, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So let's say that counts as an action scene.
She got like force choked, right? That's an action scene.
Let's say that counts as an action scene. Andrew Robinson, how much of this movie would you say was an action scene?
Do you want it in like minutes or percentage?
Oh, either one. Whichever one you think helps your argument.
It's probably like 12 minutes.
First of all, I don't think you know how minutes work. Second of all, I believe we have about max, and I'm being kind, 3 minutes of action in this movie.
Word.
Yes. Damien, I think there are like two scenes. This movie thinks that it's building up suspense. Mm-hmm. It does things like have an imaginary person pull the sheets off two women and take their picture.
Ooh.
It does things like have this woman be paranoid for an hour and a half or however the fuck long this movie is. And that's about it. I think there's like one scene where she breaks out of prison. This movie is the goddamn worst. And the sad thing is, Andrew's probably right. It's probably just not a great movie. It's probably just exactly what you would expect from a movie like this. But because Andrew hyped it up so goddamn much, I nearly booked a flight went to Canada, fucking evaded Justin Trudeau and all of his troops just so I could slap Andrew in the face. This was. I'm
You're
so
saying
upset.
It's not good.
So upset with that word. This movie fucking sucks.
What I'm hearing is that you don't like this movie. Am I hearing that correctly? I just want to know.
Damien, go fuck yourself. All right. That's weird, man.
No. I think I'm quoting from the WhatsApp group right now. I said, as someone who never watched the Kevin Bacon movie, it seems to be what I imagined that movie would be.
First of all, his name is Jorge.
Listen here. Fuck this movie.
What? I do have to say that on the second watch, I did not like that movie a lot. On the first watch, I was like, it's all right.
Yeah, I remember you being positive about it. Mm-hmm. I think we're actually talking on the last podcast, and you were like, yeah, it's good. Watch it, because upgrade.
It's like a movie.
Yeah. I have one last thing I need to talk about.
Okay.
And it's almost like an imaginary thing that I need to talk about here.
So you mean you're going from the Invisible Man to an imaginary thing? That sounds awesome.
Yeah,
let's do this.
Pretty much. So Netflix has this new show, and I think I might like it. I'm not sure. It's called Feel Good. And it is just some sort of relationship, romantic maybe kind of thing. I haven't been able to watch a show. And actually, I think that's really what I want to talk about. Steve, fuck you. Why can I not watch anything on Netflix anymore? My Netflix looks awful all the time now. And yep. I'm so upset. And this is not Corona. This is pre-Corona, right? Damien, it sounds like you're having a similar problem.
Yes. It is now clear that the whole we're turning down the quality on Netflix because of the stream, the great Corona collapse of the internet is affecting me, because there's days when I look at this thing and go, boy. it's been happening with me.
Yeah, but for me, it's been consistent for the last, I'd say maybe 3 months. Mm-hmm. So it's been like a while, right?
Right.
Definitely from Witcher. I remember Witcher being a problem, and Sabrina. Mm-hmm. So a little while now. So much so that I've been turning off my proxy and watching it, trying to watch it on Jamaica, because at the end of the day, I don't watch crap anymore on Netflix. Right. It's just Netflix stuff. And so usually that helps, but it's just very annoying. But anyway, there's a show, I think I like it, I want to like it. I don't know, because I can't fucking watch Netflix anymore. Every time I press play, they're like, how many boxes do you want to see? One or two? Because we don't have any more room for downloading any more pixels. And it upsets me to no end, especially because I watch Hulu, I watch YouTube TV, I watch various other streaming platforms and have no issues or limited issues. Netflix used to be the best out of them all. No, it's the worst. It's sad that it's worse than Amazon. Amazon was always the worst, but Amazon has now figured out how to, yes, it's still annoying because the app sucks, but it's figured out how to stream pretty well most of the time. Netflix is now like, you know what? I don't want you to see anything that I have. But yeah, I would like to have any of you watched Feel Good or even seen?
I have not.
No, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. It looks kind of cool, but we'll see. We shall see. I have also continued my Justification. Mm-hmm. I am already into season 4. I fucking love this show. It is not the show that I thought it was. I realize that it is actually just a regular show, just maybe a little better than average, but oh boy. Because it has the same sort of tropes, the same sort of regular show things that they do, from story-wise, from camera-wise. But it's weird how you, if you latch onto something, you don't remember it that way. You remember it as just fucking grade A cinema, which is how I remember Justified. But that show's still fucking amazing. But yeah, that's it. I haven't watched
that much
this week because I'm not self-isolating yet.
You awful human being, how dare you ruin the world.
Yeah. Listen, I'm just following orders. Okay?
That's what they all said.
There we go. There we go, Damian. Mm-hmm. I laid you up. I was like...
Yep.
I put the ball out there. I was wondering when you were going to take it. Especially given what movie we were talking about today.
Yep. They said they were just following orders. It's like, ah! Must we do this every year? God damn it, man.
Oh,
I mean, I know I predicted
oh my God.
A year ago that... This is not a good movie. I'm just glad to know that I'm not alone.